You don't remember where you got this old Bible?
Huh?
Who gave you this old Bible?
The Sunday school gave me that. When I first started to teach Sunday school years and years ago when I was a young girl.
Oh. Where did you teach Sunday school?
Down here at the Point.
At the Point.
At the Methodist Church.
Now, one thing we did was, because the tape ran out, and we missed hearing about your brother being killed, I think, going to Newport after the First World War.
Yes.
And dying, and coming here and being buried.
Buried here at the Point. Yes.
And being on the memorial up at Central Village.
Yes.
I think we missed that because the tape ran out and I wasn't watching. Now, I'm anxious to know a little bit more about the things you did for, just daily living. Like, when you got up in the morning, where did you go to school?
Well, I went way up on above the Hicks's Bridges. Now, you know, you went straight up, the drift road.
Yes.
We kept going right up a ways. So there used to be a watering trough there, side of the road, to one of the roads.
Is the school still there?
I don't know. But right next to it used to be a schoolhouse. And that schoolhouse now has been made into a little cottage.
I see.
And we used to have to bring wood in at recess in the winter to help keep the stove going. To keep the schoolhouse warm.
How many children were in this? It was a one-room school, I guess.
One-room schoolhouse.
One teacher.
Well, maybe there was around 20, I should say. Sometimes maybe a little more.
And that's Mabel when you went in the first too. Grade? And Mabel went there,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, first and second grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then got so bad. And there was a boiling spring in back of there that the boys used to get a pail of water from to bring in to put in the entry so we'd have water to drink.
Right. Now, did you have a privy, or what did you do when you had to go
outside.
To the bathroom? Outside.
Outside, there were two, one for the boys and one for the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember the teacher mornings when there's been snow on the ground. When we was coming up, there was a Mr. Tripp used to take us in a horse and wagon.
Mm-hmm.
Pick us all up.
Up at the down at the lane there.
Yes.
On the drift road.
Stop at my lane. Mabel would be there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the Hallsworth girls came down. I think it was Annie.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a little bit of a thing, very frail. Because
yes.
We used to call her a little orphan Annie. We felt sorry for her because my mother would bundle her up and make sure she had something hot before she'd walk all the way through the woods down.
Yes.
And make sure she had something hot before she left. And she very seldom had a handkerchief. So my mother always kept a little pieces of a cloth. A cut.
Yes.
In case anybody needed a handkerchief or something.
Yes.
In a hurry. And she used to always give her one of them to take.
Yes, isn't that nice?
My little Annie.
Yes.
And,
were the Hallsworths, you might say poorer?
Yes.
They were poorer than
yes.
the Allens.
Oh,
or the,
yes, very poor people. We always had plenty.
Mm-hmm.
Bountiful
but the,
supply.
The Hallsworths.
But they were very poor people.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to stop. He worked out on different places, and he walked a lot. And he would stop to my mother's at night, coming home, and she'd take his lunch pail and wash it out and fill it full of milk for him to take home every night, Mr. Hallsworth was.
Yes.
Yes.
How many children did he have, I wonder?
Well, I don't know. I know there was two or three girls.
Mm-hmm. This little Annie was one of them.
Yes, little Annie.
Mm-hmm.
I always remember her because we used to felt so sorry for her.
Yes.
Walking all along in cold, all
yes,
the way
cold
through the woods. Mabel was always bundled good, warm.
Yes. Well, you started to tell a minute ago about how many great-grandchildren you have.
Oh, dear. I have 8 great-grandchildren. And 6 grandchildren.
My goodness. That's
6 and 8 great-grandchildren. One's twins.
Well.
Albert.
Where do they live?
I live up on the drift road there now. Do you know where Maud Brown Ann lives?
Yes.
Just above her in that house there.
Yes.
She married a Parker, a Richard Parker, and he's a policeman.
Yes.
And she got, they're adorable, those twins. They were here Halloween. She had them all dressed up.
Maud did?
No, Faith, her twins.
Her twins.
I haven't seen Maud now in about a year.
I saw Maud last Sunday. She came up to meeting.
Good. Then she's coming along good.
Yes.
She used to call me every little while. I haven't heard from her now quite a while. And I guess so I can't remember telephone numbers.
Yes.
And I'd say, Maud, I said, she said, well, why don't you call me? Because I know Maud, you know, where was it? She grew up with our family.
Yes.
Now, there's another thing I've got, probably you'd like to see.
I don't want you to have to get up anymore.
I got a
tell me where it is.
It was taken down here in front of the big house. When grandmother was living, she lived upstairs, her and grandfather. It was a big house, more room in it than what there is here, because it went way out back.
Now, this is the big house down at the point.
Yes, and
near
Maud's grandmother.
It was near Bertha Johnson's.
No, this was up farther here, where grandmother lived.
Oh.
Almost across from the post office.
I see. Oh, that great big house that's still there?
No, it's just below Amber's. The Hammond house, and then there's a little small house that used to be the post office in there. But it was right next to there, that wall, that went to the Reed estate.
Oh.
It was, Mr. Sheldon bought it, because he
It's a great big house in there.
Yeah, well, that was Sheldon's.
Yes.
Well, it was in between those two.
Yes.
He wanted that land to go down farther back.
Yes.
So when Father sold it to him, he said, this house is in perfect condition, and I don't want it to be taken down. Oh, he said, I promise you, he said, I won't. I'll put some of my help in there.
Mm-hmm.
We worked out of there 6 months, and they tore it down.
Oh.
Because he had nothing to show for it.
Oh, that's too bad. He had no legal papers or anything.
Well, grandmother lived upstairs when I was a little thing, and Maud's mother and father and grandmother, Beckman, lived on the first floor. Grandmother rented that to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a picture of Maud and some of my sisters and I and my mother, and I sitting on my mother's lap.
Oh.
There. My father gave me that picture because
Let me go get it for you. I'll turn off the tape and I'll get it because I... Say, you know that the one sitting there on the lady's lap...
Is me.
Is you right
I'm
here?
I'm the youngest one, yes.
Yes, and is this your mother?
That's my mother.
Now, who are all these people?
Well, dear, see if I can start to think now. Now, I've got a sister Clara in here, right on the front row here somewhere.
Yes.
My grandmother's in here, my grandmother Ellen, and then Maud Brownell's grandmother, Mrs. Beckman, is in here. And I know that tall one there was my sister Myrtle, called her Myrtie. And
these are all women in this picture,
yes.
Aren't they?
Oh no, there's boys.
There's boys.
No, there's some one of Maud's brother there. And that little fella, that was my brother George.
Oh.
There.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister Clara's in here.
Mm-hmm. Is that a bicycle or what is that?
Well, that bicycle, well, I'll tell you, grandmother was terrible upset. She counted everyone to go into the picture. This man was coming through to take pictures. And Jesse was getting ready. She had them all set, had the picture. Myra Tripp, that was Bertha Johnson's sister, Myra, came in quick with her bicycle.
There's the telephone.
Yes.
Shall I turn this off? Mrs. Sears in New Bedford calls you every day?
Every afternoon, because I helped her take care of her mother with the a fractured leg, and she was diabetic, and stayed with her 14 weeks.
My goodness,
mother.
You must be absolutely a saint who was taking care of so many people.
After she went, I came home. That was right after I left Dr. Howe's. I was with him for 3 years. Dr. Frank's house, the heart specialist in New Bedford.
Yes.
On the cottage in Arnold he lived, in that great big house. And we had our own little apartment upstairs, my husband and I. But I took full charge of all the house and the bills and everything, answered all the doorbells for him, and helped him with a patient when he needed it in his office.
Well, you were like a nurse.
Yes.
Well, you
like practical nursing.
Practical
nursing. I never took my license exam to get it, but they was at me too, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And because I knew what was coming up ahead of me with the Parkinson disease, my husband.
Yes.
He had that coming.
Yes.
And I knew that I could.
You better not be too involved in other things.
So then I took care of Mrs. Sears' husband, Dr. Sears. He had a cerebral hemorrhage.
Oh.
And she sent for me right off.
Yes.
And I stayed with him till he went.
Yes.
And helped her. So we've been just close together as can be ever since.
Yes. And she calls every.
She's a lovely person. Mm-hmm. She's very great musician too.
She is.
She used to teach.
Music
to take up her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to her family travel everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The Jones, what they call the Jones. Mm-hmm. At what do you call them now? All together,
like choir.
Like a choir. No, they didn't sing. All played instruments.
Oh,
she always plays the piano.
Band.
Yes, and her father was a violinist,
uh-huh.
And she had a sister.
Orchestra, the Jones Orchestra,
and a sister that was a violinist, and then her brother a cello.
I see.
They traveled everywhere.
Yes. Now let's get back to you, because you see we're off in New Bedford now.
Yes.
And what we want to get is back here into Westport and
yes.
your life here. Aside from Mabel, who were your other friends?
Well, it was Edna Tripp that lived up about a half a mile up the road. We
under the drift road.
Yeah, on the drift road that I chummed with.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all.
Mm-hmm. The rest of the time you were with your
yes.
family mostly.
And we stayed in nights. We never went out nights.
How'd you meet your husband if you never went out at night?
Well, I'm trying to think now. Oh, when we was here summers.
When I
was a young girl. And there was another girl and I. We waited for him to come up street
mm-hmm.
to go out for the post office for his mail. And we'd have some little stones hidden behind the stone wall.
Yes.
You know, in front of the house was a nice stone wall.
Yes.
We'd hide there. And when we'd see him, we'd throw stones at him.
Oh.
And then
that was
run.
The way you courted.
Yeah. And, that's when I was, quite young.
Oh, really?
Before I moved up to the farm.
Oh, I see.
And,
this is when you came summers.
Yes, when I come summers. Throw stones at him. I can remember he used to laugh at that over in time. And he used to say, if I could catch you two girls, I'd give you one good shaking to us. And,
when did you begin to court?
And then coming down to church and around here, where I met him around different.
Yes, and by that time you lived here at the farm, didn't you?
Yes, I lived up the farm then,
mm-hmm.
yes.
And you came down to church.
Yeah, and then my sister.
He came to church, too.
One of my sisters was married down here, and he used to come in there some to see my brother-in-law.
Yes, and that's how you got acquainted.
Edgar Gifford, yes. She married a Gifford. And so that's how I run into him. But he always used to say, well, you're going to throw stones at me?
Oh, that's
you're
so cute. You're
going to throw some more stones at me? He never forgot it. But
after you were married, he was fishing at the same time,
yes.
at the time you were
oh,
married.
Yes.
And after you, he kept on fishing all his life.
All his life, until
mm-hmm.
he had a breakdown and couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started with Parkinson's disease, too.
Yes.
Because towards the last, he got so perfectly helpless.
Yes.
And
it's a terrible disease.
Yes.
It is.
Because when I was with Dr. House told me then, he said, I said, do you know of any doctor I could take him to that could help him? He said, there's no cure.
No, there isn't.
He said, I know a doctor. He said, he spent a fortune trying to get cured himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, there's no hope for
him. No. Now, let's go back to some other few things about your days when you were young.
You want to know what we'd done evenings? We
yes.
very seldom went out. When we first moved to the farm, our mother had an organ.
Mm-hmm.
In the evening, in the parlor, there was a fire made in the fireplace.
You didn't have a furnace, of course.
No,
you had fireplaces.
No, we had fireplace.
How many fireplaces?
I can't remember. I know there was one in the parlor. In the living room, I think that was closed up, and I think we had a big heater in, a wood heater.
Yes.
In that. But we would go into the parlor, and Mother would play the organ, And because my father was musical,
mm-hmm.
he could play a violin or a banjo,
mm-hmm.
and he'd play, and then my brother Happy got so he could play a violin very good,
mm-hmm.
where he just picked it up for him. And my brother George, he could play anything by ear.
Yes, isn't that remarkable?
Just play. He'd go somewhere to hear something, a concert, he'd come home and sit down and play
a play it right on the organ.
And there we went in, and we sang songs and hymns and everything. Mm-hmm. Sunday night was our hymn night.
Yes. And the other nights you didn't sing hymns, you just sang regular songs.
Well, we would sometimes, but
did you read? Did you ever spend much time reading?
Oh, not too much.
No? Did you have any games you played?
Oh, some, but we never bothered too much. It was mostly our music. Because my mother and my father both loved music.
Music. And so in the evenings were musical evenings.
Yes, they all loved it.
What time did you go to bed about?
Well, usually early.
Early? Even when
it was always up early. Because we had to catch school buses.
Yes.
Or the school
what time did the school bus come by?
Well, it would be there by 8 o'clock, sometimes a little before.
So you'd have to get up before dark. I mean, when it was still dark in the winter.
Yeah, early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
To be there for that. If we missed that, we had to walk.
Yes.
Because after I left up that little school, was transferred down here to Westport Point School.
Mabel didn't come down to the Westport School, but you did.
Yes, I did. She stopped, and they taught it to home.
Mm-hmm.
And but I came down here, and I was down here till I was ninth grade.
Yes.
We had way up to ninth grade
down here at the Point School.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And did you stop school then?
No.
Or did you go on? Where did you go on after?
Up Center Village.
Up to Central Village.
Yes.
And what was that school called?
That Center Village School?
It's now the Milton Merle School.
Yes, I know, but I think we just called it the
Central Village School.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
And how far did that go? Up to the 12th grade?
Well, that took up to high school.
Up through
high school.
Up through the high school.
I didn't go to high school. My father had me a book for the Moses Brown School.
I see.
But I had a chance to go to work that summer, and I thought it was wonderful.
Yes.
And I went to work, and I was $3 a week, cooking and taking care of two little boys, getting them up in the morning, washing and dressing them,
uh-huh.
doing the cooking, and taking care of them through the daytime.
How old were you?
Well,
about
16
or 17. You worked for how many? $3 a week?
$3 a week. They found out I could cook, so I'd done the cooking. And I forget his name now, but the man that, he had to go to the office very early in the morning. So I'd get up, go down quietly, cook his breakfast. By that time, the children would start to wake up, and I'd upstairs, I'd go and get them two little boys up.
Where did they live?
They lived over the Horseneck, over on the East Beach then, long before the hurricane. Beautiful little house over there. And
their name wasn't Howe by any chance. You know, the Howes lived over there.
No, this was Crippen.
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 Mm-hmm.
And so when I saved my money, that $3 a week. And so in the fall, and I told my father, I said, I don't want to go away to school.
You don't want to go to Moses Brown.
No, I don't want to go. I said, I'm going to try to get work around here somewhere. I want to work.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather cook than go to school. So I asked my father, and he just gave him mother, didn't think much of it. She wanted me to go to school.
Yes.
Get that education.
Yes.
And, but I won my way with my father.
Yes.
Always did.
Uh-huh.
He called me Yetta.
Yeah.
That was a
pet name.
A pet name. Instead of Etta, he'd say Yetta.
Yetta. Mm-hmm.
And so, and I took that money in the fall, and I said to my mother when I got through, it was just for September, first of August, I said, now we'll go to town and go shopping. My mother said, what are you going to do with it? Going to put it away? I said, no, I'm going to spend it. I worked for it. Oh, she still owed me 4 weeks when I got through.
Oh, she
and
did?
I had to wait for that.
Oh.
But I took my
That's
mother
too
in,
bad. That's not fair.
And we went looking around, and my mother said, now, what do you want to look at? I said, I want to go in the women's department. So we went over
Which store was that?
At the Star Store, New Bedford.
Mm-hmm.
And we took the trolley in. And I went in the women's department, and I said, I want to see women's coats, Mother. I said, you said you wanted to get a new coat. You haven't had one in a long time. And now I said, what kind of a coat would you pick out? She said, well, I'm not buying a new coat this fall, so you go look in your other department for things you want. I said, no, I just wanted to see what kind of a coat you'd like to have.
Mm.
So she said, well, to satisfy you, I'll show you.
Uh-huh.
So she tried on quite a few coats. Finally, she picked out this black plush coat.
Yes.
And she said, see, that's the kind of coat I'm going to buy when I buy one, but I don't need it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, why don't you try it on? The girl said, yes, why don't you try it on? I think it's just right for you. So the mother tried it on. It looked nice, just right for her, looked nice. I said to the girl, I'll take it. My mother said, oh, no, you won't.
Do you remember how much the coat was?
I don't know, but I know it took all my money that I earned, about all,
mm-hmm.
that I saved all summer. And I don't know what I had learned before that I earned.
That you earned.
So anyway, I bought her that black fur plush coat.
Plush coat. Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want it. She spent that money. She said, why don't you buy? I said, I don't need anything. I said, my clothes from last winter fit me fine. I said, I don't need any. I bought that coat. You know, she never bought another one.
Oh, how old was she, do you think? You were 18, maybe, or 19.
Yes, but...
how old was you? You don't know how old she was when you were born, do you?
No, I don't.
You don't know when she was born?
No, I have no idea when she was born or
anything. Were you her youngest or oldest child?
No, I was in the middle.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. She might have been about 25 or 30 when you were born?
Yes, you must have been.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
And if you were eight...
Oh, yes, because, see, there was Eli, then there was Edward Schuyler Smith there,
mm-hmm.
and then there was my brother, Bill William,
mm-hmm.
and William Thomas, they named him, Thomas after my grandfather Lawton.
Yes.
And then there was, my sister Myrtle come in there after Ted, and then Bill, and then me.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was the fourth one.
Yes. And you were born in 1895.
1895, yeah.
And so she would be born probably about 1865.
Yes, must be.
1865. Older. That would be before the Civil War.
Yeah. Yes. See, my father studied to be a chemist. First, he went off to college to be a chemist.
Where did he go to college?
I don't remember where. And then he came up, and he practiced for a while, and he didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got in with this the city down there. They wanted him to run for being taken care of all the streetlights in the
mm-hmm.
town. He did that, and then he had, in the cellar of the house that we lived in, was a four-tenement house, but we had the whole floor,
yes.
the bottom floor. And... he had a chemist room built down in there
mm-hmm.
with a stove in there to heat.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught a lot of the young doctors back from college and everything to help them with their chemistry.
Yes.
Gave lessons
yes.
in between.
Yes.
That's what he did.
So he'd rather teach, really. He'd like to teach rather than be a chemist.
Oh, yes, he liked to teach. He liked to teach. He liked to experiment.
Yes.
He experimented one time when the city was putting gas in. The gas lights were going to transfer from the oil lights.
From the oil lights in Fall River to the gas lights.
He told them he could make gas cheaper than they could buy it. What the bids that they had on.
Yes.
So he went experimenting. He did make it cheaper. And then he said, I can make it a lot cheaper than that. And he made it so cheap that it blew up and blew a hole up through my mother's living room floor. There were no rugs that she had on.
Oh, dear.
And it blew the windows out of the cellar.
It was such a powerful
gas.
Yes,
he crawled out.
Oh, dear.
And he had to crawl off to get out and blow the windows all out and blow a hole right up.
How'd you get the house fixed?
Well, my father had it fixed up again.
Uh-huh.
Had to have a floor put in, more boards put in. He had to find my mother a new rug. And I think it done a little something to her couch, too.
Yes.
And that was in the living room.
Yes.
And so I can remember, I couldn't remember that, but I can remember afterwards of doctors going down in. They'd always stop the door and speak to my mother before they went down the cellar stairs to take a lesson in chemistry.
Isn't that amazing?
But I can remember going down and watching things going through all these glass pipes and things he had going down there. I thought that was wonderful.
Oh, it must have been beautiful because they probably made different colored things.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
And
yes.
I can remember that.
Well, that is just simply wonderful. Are you getting tired now?
No, I'm just going to look, see what time it is.
I have a watch here. It's 1:45.
Was that all?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
And so,
I thought it was late, didn't I?
No, it isn't. It's 3:15. But I don't want to get too tired.
Oh, no.
And so I don't want to ask too many questions.
But this has been wonderful for me.
It's been a great treat for me. And I'd like to, I think I'd like to play this tape back to myself. And if any more questions come to my mind, I'd like to come back and ask them to you again.
You're welcome, Mrs. Giles. Come anytime.
Well, I think I'll say goodbye now.
Just give me a minute to make sure I'm in.
Yes.
The only time I will get out, unless Raymond's wife comes down, takes me for a little ride. I can't get out unless somebody helps me. I guess that's my pump.
Oh.
Pressure building.
Well, I want to thank you.
And then Mrs. Sears, Gertrude, I call her Gertrude.
Yes.
Comes out and takes me. And we go for a little ride, and we usually end up to Fred and Ann's for lunch.
I see.
Out for the day. And then she goes back early.
Yes.
And that's about the only time.
Then Fred and Ann's was Annie Hallsworth, you know.
It
was her mother.
It was her
we
mother
we called
her
with.
Ralph and Annie.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Well, now I'm going to stop this tape now and just say goodbye for a little while because someday I'm going to come by and get both you and Mabel.
Yes.
And we're going for a ride and we're going to pick out some of these places that you both remember and locate them so we can make a map of them.
Mabel will remember the meadows because sometimes we are across from where we live. We used to slide down that hill.
Yes.
In the winter.
Did you have sleds?
Oh, yes. Homemade sleds.
Yes.
The boys made the sleds for us.
Yes.
The wooden sleds.
Did you swim in the river in the summer?
Oh, yes. We'd go down to the big wharf and jump in and swim.
The big wharf was down on the East River?
Yes, right down on the bottom of our land.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Beatty had a big wharf built out there.
Mm-hmm.
A stone wall.
Yes.
And I think it still must be there now.
What kind of a bathing suit did you wear?
Well, I can't just remember, but I know there was like bloomers, great big things that come over your knees.
Yes.
Because the water and everything used to get into it. We'd get up and squeeze them to get it out after we stood up.
I know. The pictures of people in old-fashioned bathing suits are so funny. I could just keep on forever, but because you have so many memories of things that you did, like swimming.
Yes,
what else did you do?
Brother George and I would
Did you chase butterflies? When I was a little girl, I used to go running around after butterflies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we did. We used to go catch them, made a net.
Yes.
And we'd catch them. But we usually let them go after
I did,
a
while, too.
I always thought it was too wicked to keep them.
I didn't. I just liked to look at them.
Yes.
They were so pretty.
Oh, they were.
Do you remember some of the birds that were... You had birds that you had on your land? What birds did you...
Oh, there's about everything there.
Cardinals?
Oh, yes, all them. Oh, that's another thing I'm very fond of. It's the birds.
Yes.
And I felt bad. Lately I have very few birds here now. I've always put the feeders out in the fall.
Yes.
And I could sit to the window and could just see them come down and feed and fly around.
Yes.
But now
you can't see them.
But I could see them when the snow comes.
Yes.
But there have been very few birds, Raymond says, lately. They used to start in long before this, but they used to be out here.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I can't understand it, whether they were hurt this summer because of the heat or what.
The one thing I've seen a lot of were starlings this winter. There have been lots of starlings around.
Yeah, well,
but
I seen a few. There's been a few blue jays, and then we had cardinals. Beautiful cardinals.
The other day, you know, that cold day we had last week.
Yes.
There was one day that was real cold.
Yes.
I looked out of the window and saw two juncos.
Oh,
and you know, juncos usually only
come until cold
weather.
No,
I haven't seen them since.
Go and looking for birds,
mm-hmm.
but it's been 5 years now since my eyes are starting to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because nothing could be done for them.
No.
Or know that.
No.
And the last specialist I went to a few years ago, he said he'd tell me right out. He said my eyes could go like this for a long time.
Yes.
And he said, and all of a sudden they could leave me entirely
yes.
in darkness.
Yes.
And
well, I hope they don't.
Well, I said, I'm glad you told me, then I know what to expect.
Yes.
And I said, we have to take everything as it comes.
I know we do.
And he said, I'm glad you're taking it this way. He said, son, he said, I've had an awful time with it.
I know.
Well, I said, well, what's the difference? Well, we have to learn to take these things.
I know.
And I said, I'm thankful I've had the eyes that I've had all these
yes.
years.
Yes.
Look,
well, I want to ask you one more thing, and that is about the wildflowers you used to see on your place out there on the river. In your farm, you must have had lots of wildflowers.
I had about everything.
Can you think of any of them?
The oxeye daisies we loved. And then there was some kind of a blue flower. That my mother and I she would love flowers and things.
Yes.
And we'd walk through the woods to pick different kinds. And I can't remember now all the different names of them flowers. She used to tell me what they were.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing she loved was walking through the woods to pick her greens. She'd take a basket, and I'd have a basket and a little knife to cut the greens.
Were these dandelion greens?
Yeah, dandelions and cowslips. And all different kinds.
Did you cook them?
Greens.
Did you cook them then?
Oh, yes. We brought them back and picked them over and washed them. And we'd cook them. And sometimes she would can some for winter.
Mm-hmm.
After we got a lot of them.
Yes.
And we used to go way up around the Boiling Spring. And then another place.
I wish I knew where that Boiling Spring was.
Well, if they'd let us walk up in through there. If that meadow is clear, now I could show you. Mabel knows, too, what that is.
She does.
It's just, as you walk up through the dooryard by the barn, going west, you go down the hill a little ways.
Now, is this on Eleanor Raposa's land now?
No, on our land.
It's
on the land where I live. I don't know who owns that now. But my brother George went there quite a few years ago, and he said the people were very nice. They told him he could look around and walk all through. And I think that was before the road was built.
Yes.
Because he said he walked up to your place.
Yes.
He and this...
By the road, you mean that's before 88 was built? That,
yes. Yeah. And he said there was nobody home.
Mm-hmm.
They knocked and knocked. He said there was no one there.
Mm-hmm. At our house?
Yes, your house up there.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to go see where Mabel used to live.
Yes. Well, you see, we, for a long time, we only came in the summer because
yes.
we were working in New York in the winter.
Yes.
And so the house was empty a lot of the time, and two or three times we were broken into and a lot of things stolen.
Oh.
But lately we've been lucky and things haven't been.
Yeah.
And all. Well, I don't want to get into...
They only had some kind of a system so anybody would know when they're breaking in there.
And so it could go to the police
yes.
Station.
Yes.
Yes. I think I should have.
Yes,
well,
it's too bad.
Yes.
They do it.
Well, they're doing it a lot everywhere,
oh,
you know.
Oh, everywhere. Well, see how they did it right up the street at the Glenda Table in the daytime.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Right there. And
yeah.
that's why Billy Strong, the policeman, my son that's the chief,
yes.
he told me to keep my doors hooked
mm-hmm.
where I can't hear good nor
mm-hmm.
see good.
Mm-hmm.
Let no one in unless I knew who they were.
Yes.
And I said, well, I've never been afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I know you never have, Mother. I said, we never locked a door here.
Mm-hmm.
You boys came in and out when you wanted to, or anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
We never locked them. He said, you are locking them now.
You know, I'd like to make a tape of him because he knows a lot about things that are happening in Westport. You know, not about so much in the old days, but things that are happening now. Because 100 years from now, today will be the old days. And we hope that these tapes will last in the library for hundreds and hundreds of years.
I know it. Well, I talked to him the other noontime, and he happened to be home. And I said, oh, you're home at 1 o'clock. You're usually back at the office. He said, I'm taking the afternoon off. I've got a terrific head again today. Headache. The doctor calls it nervous attention. And he said, he said, I just have to come home and relax for a few hours.
Yes.
So I'm taking the afternoon off. I'm going upstairs and lie down.
Does he come here at night to sleep?
Huh?
Does he come here at night to sleep?
Oh, no. No, he lives up the street here with his wife.
Where does he live?
Well, you know where the cabins are up here, the motels?
Yes.
Well, it's just below that, almost below it, up on the hill a little, a white house.
On this same side of the street.
And, of course, he's got a lot of tension there just now at home. His son and his wife and the children are there.
Yes.
And see, it isn't too quiet for him.
No. So he comes here and takes a nap.
No. Well, anyways he can, I guess. But because they're in school now, all of a sudden, Lily Willie, the youngest one, Roy's boy, his name is William Allen Palmer. And
do you suppose he'd let me tape him?
Oh, Bill? Well, I think he would if he kept the time.
I'll call him sometime, or you ask him sometime.
Yes.
If when I call, I'd like to find out is he's awful busy. Well, I could make a short tape, a very short tape. I could go up to his office maybe and take the tape recorder and make a very short tape about some of the kinds of crimes and things that he does. He tends to in Westport.
Well,
he's being chief of police.
He'll tell you, if he tells you, it'll be a miracle. He won't tell you anything. He won't tell me anything that's going on. If I hear something, and I'll call him and I say, oh, Billy, wasn't that terrible they done there to that house? Look how they played poor Mrs. Southern over here.
Yes.
Breaking in. Every time she left to go to the village or go out shopping or something, they'd break in there and raise Cain. And he said, well, at least first I heard about it.
Well, so maybe if he knew that the bicentennial, he might tell some of the things.
Yes,
not naming names. You wouldn't have to name names.
No,
he could just tell in general about some of the problems that the town has.
I would say to his wife, Rose, sometime, we call her Rosetta, or Canadian Rose. She was a Canadian girl.
Oh, I see.
Then he met her in the war.
The First War, the Second World War.
The Second World War, when
he was
flying through Canada.
Yes.
With the Air Force.
Yes.
And she was at one of the radio stations there.
Oh.
One of the head ones.
Yes.
And she took his call. And he said, I like the sound of your voice. And she said, I like the sound of your voice too.
Isn't that darling?
And he said, well, when I land, couldn't I meet you? She said, well, yes, I'd be glad to meet you. And when he did land, she told him which runway to come in on. And
yes.
When he landed, got his plane up, he went to the door, to the office building where she was in there working, and he said to the man, he said, I'm supposed to meet a girl here. She told me to come down and come in. He said, but I'm sorry. He said, we can't let you in. He said, what's your name, soldier? And Billy told him his name. He said, well, what's the name of the young lady you're supposed to meet? He said, I don't know. He said, I talked to her when I was up in the plane. They were very strict, you know, in wartime about letting anybody in.
Yeah.
Well, he said, I'm awful sorry. He said, we can't. Well, Bill said, I'm staying here. She'll come out sometime or other. He said, and I know when she speaks, I'll know who it is. So it wasn't long. They were talking, and this young girl came walking down with her uniform on and her little cap on the side of her head, and she walked right up and she said, Are you the young flyer that I just talked to? And he said, and you're the young girl that I was talking to. And
that's very romantic.
So he said, I thought I'd ask you out for dinner tonight.
Oh.
He said, I got the evening off. And I got a few days off here. And she said, oh, no, you're not asking me out. And she talked kind of English, you know,
yes.
Talking. She said, but I'm asking you, I'm taking you to my mother's. My mother's having a dinner ready for us tonight. I don't live too far from here. We'll take a trolley.
Isn't that
and
nice?
Go there.
Where was this in Canada?
In Alberta.
And in Alberta.
Edmonton, Alberta. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she took him to... She said, and I hope, a soldier, you like a steak.
Oh,
he
boy.
He said, oh, do I love it. And she said, you like our Canadian steaks. She said, they're delicious.
Oh.
Their beef is very good up there.
Yes.
And so went to the house, and he put his bag down, and he had dinner there with him and sociable with her mother. And then he said, he stayed for a while, and he said, oh, I meant to ask you, is there a place near here, a boarding house or something, where I can get a room for the night? And her mother spoke up. Oh, she said, we have a room already for you. You're not going out.
Oh, how lovely.
You're staying here while you're on your leave.
Oh.
And that's where he met her. And when he wrote to me, he said, I've met a young lady up here that I fall in love with, Mother. He said, and I think I shall ask her to marry me. He said, I know you'll like my little gadget. It's a very small little thing.
Uh-huh.
I know you'll like my little gadget. Well, when he never mentioned her name or nothing. I said, for goodness sakes. I wonder what nationality she is, if her name is Gadget. And then my husband said, well, I don't know. I hope he didn't pick out an Indian or one of them foreign ones up there. Well, I said, now listen, I'm not going to worry. Billy always had good judgment. And I'm leaving it up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I went on for a while, and then I got a letter from him. He said, I've asked her to marry me. And he said, but when I'm, she will have to come to this country if she can get release from the Canadian government to come here. Because he said, I want her to come here to be married,
mm-hmm.
my home,
mm-hmm.
and I want her to meet you.
Yeah.
So, and then I got a paper from the Canadian government to see if I would take her and, have all responsibility,
yes.
You know, watch
yes.
it here. And then I got one from the United States,
mm-hmm.
and I signed them all and took them. And then they made their plans, and her mother came on.
And where was she married?
And they were married here down at the point here, the Methodist
church.
He wanted to come down to his
church
to be married
yeah.
here.
Yes. Well, that's wonderful.
And she has a brother.
And that was
in
about 1942 or 3 or something,
yes,
or 5,
not
46.
Something like that. Because
mm-hmm.
he's got, his daughter is, let me see, Jane's what, 28,
mm-hmm.
his daughter.
Mm-hmm. 45, 55, 65.
Yeah.
Well, it was about, maybe it was, well, the war was over in 1945, I think.
Yes, because he got married, and then he had to go back for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And he was stationed in New York after he was transferred from
mm-hmm.
off here. And then they had a place there, and then they come back, and they stayed here a while. And then he bought a piece of land up there,
yeah.
and they cleared that, the two of them,
mm-hmm.
themselves, the rocks and the bushes and the trees.
And that's
and
the land
that
just
house,
south of the motel.
They built that house themselves.
Just south
of
the motel, a white house just
yeah,
south of the motel.
They built it.
Well, that's just wonderful. I'm going to see if I can, if he will ever have enough time to take, to let me take him, because one of the studies we're making of Westport is of there have been lots of crimes in Westport since Indian days.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
murders and
oh,
all
yes.
kinds of things. And we need to know about the crime as well as the good things.
Yeah.
We need to know about it all.
Oh, yes.
Well, thank you. I don't want to tire you anymore. But I'm very grateful to you for this time, and you and I will, and Mabel will go for a drive someday and look for that spring and all the things.
Yeah. I think you'd like to see where that knoll is. And that.
I
and
do
I
want to.
I wouldn't dare to go way down that.
No, but I can
look. I can walk in that meadow a little ways and point to where that is.
Yes.
And show you the shoreline there.
Yes.
And there used to be a lot of clams all in through there. We used to go down there and dig clams.
Yes. Well, thank you, thank you.